sometimes maybe because of how the connotation of what it is on earth today, but it's definitely something we want to look at because it's an attribute of God, it's a name of God. But before we start, let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word is true. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is that which divides asunder soul and spirits. It's the revealer of the hearts of men. Your word heals. Your word has power. And we pray, Lord, that in the delivery of your word, in the reception of your word this morning, that a divine exchange will take place, O Lord. Reveal our hearts to us, and we pray that the power that it has to change us, let it change us by the Spirit. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your word, O Lord. Your word is true. Your word is real. Teach us, Lord. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So as we start this morning, first of all, I want to ask us, and let me see. Sister Folake Adeniyi, Sister Buki, you normally put on your videos. What's happening? You know, less and less of you that have been putting on your videos. Did you circulate a memo to turn off your videos today? Okay, thank you. All right. So those who do not have their videos on, I have a question. Okay. Sister Kikebejide, are you driving? Or are you at home? Can you read? Oh, okay. Okay, I
I
saw.
can read, yes.
Okay, you can
I'm
read.
just on tune. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I'm right here.
All right. So let me see who else is there. Okay. So I want each and every one of us, or just a few of us, let me put it that way, a few of us to just give me a name of God that you know. For example, God calls himself the I am that I am. He's the self-existent one. We know him as Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We know him as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Can a few people just, unmute yourself and tell me just a name of God that is an attribute of God, or a name of God that you know from the Bible, or a name that has been revealed to you that you know God by?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd.
The Lord our shepherd. Any other person?
Jehovah Suri, the Lord our rock.
Jehovah Suri.
Suri.
Only my wife will know those cryptic ones. Okay.
El Shaddai, the
El Shaddai,
Almighty.
the Almighty.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Okay, Brother Tola.
I was going to say Jehovah Nissi.
Oh, okay.
Elohim. Jehovah Rapha,
Okay.
think
Healer.
God our healer.
Yes.
Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, the one
The
who
Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. Okay. Now,
El Roy, the Lord who sees.
the Lord who sees, El Roy.
Roy.
Jehovah Rehoboth, the Lord who makes room for us.
The Lord who makes room for us. Amen. Amen. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord our peace. Okay. He's also known as Wonderful. Well, the name by which Christ was identified, Counselor. We know him as
What
Alpha, Omega, Any other names we know him by?
Advocate.
Advocate.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Okay.
Rock of Ages.
He's the Rock of Ages. Very true. He's the Lion of Judah.
The Brighter Morning Star.
A Brighter Morning Star.
Okay. Jehovah Naged, the Lord who predicts.
The Lord who predicts. Sister Kike, please, would you read from Exodus chapter 34? There's a name of God which nobody has said today, and it's one of the names of God, which is what we want to investigate today and look at.
I am that I am.
The I am that I am. Okay. Self-existent one. Exodus 34 from verse 12.
I'm reading the NIV version.
Okay.
34 verse 12. Be careful not to make a treaty with those in the land where you're going, or there will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land, for when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you, and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Do not make cast idols.
Thank you. So there, what is the name of God that we see there?
Jealous God.
He said, my name is Jealous. Do we know that that is one of the names of God? Because one of the attributes of God is that God is a jealous God. But, you know, sometimes, I don't know how many of us have ever, you know, just like we are just saying the names of God, advocate, counselor, you know, nobody said jealous. But that is one of his names. And I guess, I will guess, maybe the reason why we hardly want to look at God as a jealous God is because of the way jealousy is portrayed today. But do you know there are two sides to what jealousy is? And I want to break that down today so that we have an understanding of when God says that I am a jealous God, what it means. And it's not only in one place that God said, I am a jealous God. There are many places in the Bible where God says, I am a jealous God. I want to say, what does it mean for God to say, I am a jealous God? You know, I guess one of the reasons why we might not want to think, oh, how can my God be jealous? It's because we look at the relationship between man and wife, and when we say, jealousy, that person is jealous, it doesn't have a good connotation. Normally, it has a negative connotation. And it's the same way we look at, can God be jealous? Okay, let's open to Exodus 20. We'll see another scripture. The first time God called the children of Israel, where God himself spoke to the camp of Israel in the wilderness, just before they entered into the promised land, when God began to reveal himself to them. And we call this the Ten Commandments, you know. But here, God called them, told Moses, none of them were to come near the mountain, because he himself was going to speak to the children of Israel. And in speaking to every one of them, this is the first thing he says from verse 1, Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 5, for I am a jealous God. In Exodus 34, we read, God says, my name is jealous, for I am a jealous God. Now, one of the relationships on earth that will make us or help us to understand that word jealous is in a marital relationship. And let me read something to us. The marital relationship helps us understand the difference between, one, sinful jealousy and righteous jealousy. You know, there are two types of jealousy. There can be sinful jealousy and there can be righteous jealousy. I can be jealous over my relationship with my wife in a wrong way or in a right way. For example, if I feel resentment or anger merely because I see her talking to another man, that will be self-centered, possessiveness, and unreasonable domination. In other words, it is sinful jealousy. It will stem, and that sinful jealousy normally stems from my own selfishness or insecurity, rather than from a commitment to her and to what is right. And that is the jealousy most of us know. That is the jealousy that is portrayed in Hollywood, on the TV. Very few people talk about a righteous type of jealousy. If I see a man trying to seduce my wife, trying to win her affection, trying to win her for himself, of course I will be jealous. I will be jealous because there are boundaries in which God has given that marital relationship that is between one man and one woman. A third party trying to enter into that relationship, my jealousy now will be to protect my wife. If my jealousy for her is to protect myself and not protect her, it is a sinful jealousy. If my jealousy is to protect our covenant, our union, to protect my wife, then that is a righteous type of jealousy. Now, before we finish this, I'd like us to look. There's a difference between the word jealousy and envy. There's a difference between the word jealousy and envy. Okay? And we must not confuse the two, because many times they are used interchangeably. Okay? Envy is a feeling of discontent or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possession or qualities. I'll read that again. Envy is a feeling of discontent or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possession or qualities. For example, Brother Peter has a very big house. And if I'm resentful of how can he have such a house, you know, and I already have my own house, I am envious of him. Brother Wally has a fine beard. I look at him and say, wow, you know, that's a quality. Let him shave it. He's handsome. I'm envious. That means I'm envious of him. Envy is an evil, strongly condemned in the Bible. Because envy is that I do not like what that other person has because I don't have it. Jealousy fears to lose what it has. Envy is pained at someone else having. You know that there's when some people get promotion at work, there's some other people who are envious of them. They like them to be where they are, but once God bubbles you up, they become envious. They don't want you to, in our language, we say, bury. They don't want you for your head to be above. So they would rather want to press you down to be either at their level or below their level. That is envy. It's different from being jealous. And remember, there's a righteous jealousy, there's a sinful jealousy. Very good example in the Bible of envy, the brothers of Joseph. The father of Joseph heaped his love upon Joseph and showed that in the type of coat he made for Joseph, his son. That type of coat is normally reserved for a firstborn. It's an honor given to a firstborn. And it was given to Joseph. And his brothers were envious of him to the extent that they wanted to kill him and eventually sold him into slavery. That is a typical example of envy. Now, the kind of jealousy that we talk about when God says he's a jealous God. If we look at every aspect of the context of that jealousy in the whole of the Bible, it's normally when God says that you will not have idols. You will not bow yourself to any graven image. You should not have no gods but me. And there's a reason why God tells them that they should not make any graven image of anything in the heavens, of anything on earth, of anything in the seas. Because God is spirit, number one. God is above everything he has created. With what then on earth can we depict God? If we, like the Israelites did, if we make a calf and, you know, talking about this is the strength of God, talking about the vitality of God, using a calf that they made to worship. How about the knowledge of God? How about the wisdom of God? If we make a bird like he's an angel, he's everywhere at the same time. How about the love of God? So nothing on earth can truly capture who God is. Anything we make to represent God will demean, would lessen, would always be lesser than who God is. And that is at the root of what idolatry is. Idolatry is whenever we have an image, whether a graven image, whether a physical image, or an image in our minds of anything that is less than who God is, we have an idol. If we look at God as, oh, he's a Father Christmas that will always give, only gives. He's not one that is bothered with sin. He's not one that is bothered with anything I do wrong. We have a mental image of an idol. If we have an image of God that he's just one waiting for me to make a mistake and he's going to cut me down dead, we have an image of an idol. And anything, any image that doesn't have the biblical explanation of who God is, the fullness of his divine being, is less than God. And God is very particular about his name, about his honor, about his glory. He said his glory, he will share it with no one. God will not share his honor with anyone. God will not share his name with anyone. He's very particular about these things about himself. God, in his majesty, in his grandeur, you know, there are not even enough words to describe the God we serve. In his creating everything, he's above everything. And because God is the creator of everything, he is worthy. He is worthy to be glorified. He is worthy of the honor that we bring to him. He alone is worthy of such things. Man is not worthy of the kind of honor God is worthy of. And until you, as a man, create another human being to worship you, you are not worthy of the kind of honor or glory that Jehovah, our God, is worthy of. God is very particular about his name, about his glory. Sister Kike, please, can you open to Isaiah 42 and read verse 8?
Again, I'm going to be reading from NIV. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols.
God will not give his name to another, nor his praise to what?
Idols.
To idols. He will not give his praise to idols. You cannot praise money and thank money for delivering you. You cannot praise another human being and thank another human being for delivering you. All that can only go to God. And God is particular about it. God is jealous about his name. And it's not a sinful type of jealousy, because God has earned it. No man has. God, in his sovereignty, deserves it. No man does. Another one. Can you please read Ezekiel 39:25?
Ezekiel 25, okay. Yeah. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will not bring Jacob back from captivity and will have compassion on all the people of Israel. I will be zealous for my name, for my holy name.
Yes. So that word zealous and jealous, they have the same root word. So many times, where you'll see some versions will call that, I'll be zealous for my name. Another version will say, I'll be jealous for my name. So God is particular about his name. Okay. One of the commandments of God is that what we do not do what to his name. In the Ten Commandments, we do not do what to his name?
Use it in vain.
Thank you. We do not use his name in vain. We do not take his name in vain. You know how people say, oh my God, oh my Jesus, and no, it is not for us as Christians. We do not take the name of our God in vain, because he's particular about his name. Okay. Lastly, please, Sister Kike, read Revelation 4 from 9 to 11. I want to see some of the things that happens in heaven. Revelation 4 from 9 to 11.
Revelation 4, 9 to 11. shall the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things. By your will, they were created and have their being."
Thank you. And that's where we get that song. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created all things for his own pleasure. Our God is a great God. And his name, his glory, his honor, he's very particular about it, and we as his children should be particular about it. The second aspect is God's jealousy for us, his purchased. Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, his body was broken, that we might be purchased from sin and brought into his kingdom and made his. And because he has put his love upon us, he's jealous for us. We call our Master Jesus the bridegroom and his church the bride. And just as I, in a righteous jealousy, would not allow a third party into the boundaries of our union as husband and wife, God will not allow any being or anything to take the devotion of our hearts and appropriate to itself. God will not allow Satan to take possession of our hearts and our devotion. God will not allow anything our eyes will behold, whether it is luxury, whether it's beauty, whatever it is. God will not allow it because he's jealous for us as his own. And God's jealousy is not a sinful type of jealousy. It is a righteous type of jealousy. Because if God allows our hearts to be devoted to another, he knows that every devotion of our hearts to another apart from him is a devotion that can destroy us. If Satan promises you anything, know that there's something that he wants to get from you, which will ruin you for him to give it to you. And God protects us in that boundary of his jealousy for us. It is a righteous type of jealousy because he loves us. And that love which God has for us, he's already been demonstrated in his son. He's already been demonstrated in him giving us what he loved the most. Allowing his son to become sin on our behalf. Allowing his son to be crucified by wicked hands on a cross. Allowing his son to be killed and his blood shed so that we will now become his. And so God is jealous for us as his children. Do you know that whatever I do not love, I'm not bothered to be jealous about? I can only be jealous about something because I have placed my love on that thing. And because God has placed his love upon us, he's jealous for us. Because God loves his own name and is particular about his own glory, he's jealous for his glory. So whenever we look at that word, jealousy, and we look at God, We should never look at it as, it's a bad thing. No. Because if I'm not jealous for you, I cannot protect you. I'm not bothered to protect you. If I'm not jealous about you, then maybe I don't love you. But because God's love is on us, his children, he's jealous for us, his children. Now, the reciprocal of that, just as if you know that I love you, the reciprocal of your love for me is that you too will be jealous concerning me. So if we know that God loves us, and please listen carefully, because this will affect how we live. Many people are not jealous for God's glory because they have not been convinced about his love for them. Because when we are convinced that God truly loves us, just as Brother Tola loves Sister Fadeke, and because of the love Sister Fadeke knows that Brother Tola has for him, there's a reciprocal wanting to love him back. If I hear anybody using the name of God in vain, normally for me, it does me somehow. You know, somebody just using the name of my Jesus as a curse word, as a swear word, it does me somehow. Because there is an honor I have bestowed upon that name. There is a connotation of the love that name has for me that I don't want it to be trashed. I don't want it to be used anyhow. So there's a reciprocal jealousy I have for God because I'm convinced about the love God has for me. If I am the one now using the name of the Lord in vain, it definitely speaks volumes about how much I believe God loves me. If I'm joining the company of those who have no regard for the name of God, for the glory of God, for the honor and majesty of God, it speaks volumes about what I think about God. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that what Christ did was very condescending to his eternal nature as God, to take upon a human nature, not to talk less of taking upon the form of a servant, to die on a cross? What more will convince us of his love for us? Very few men, you know, would lay themselves prostrate for their wives to cross a puddle or for their wives to cross somewhere and not be hurt. But Christ did it for us. That is the depth of his love for us. And whether, you know, we don't need to say it with much volume in words because our actions will show it. The reciprocity of our love for him would always be demonstrated in how we are jealous about him, in how we are jealous for his glory, in how we are jealous for the honor of his name. Let me read to us a story, you know, that brought to life to, you know, in a deep way for me. And this was about one of the martyrs, or some of the martyrs, the reciprocity of the knowledge of God's love. And bear with me a little bit, we'll be end soon. 40 great soldiers from Cappadocia in Rome's vaunted 12th region shared Paul's jealousy for God some 250 years after his death. Licinius was reigning over the eastern portion of the empire, but was sensing an increasing military threat from the west. He became more and more repressive in his policies. You know, Licinius was one of the, I don't know whether it was a Caesar or one of the Roman leaders. He became more and more repressive in his policies, particularly towards Christians. To solidify his strength, he called on his armies to demonstrate their support by offering a sacrifice to the pagan gods. Most of the legion stationed at Sebaste, a city south of the Black Sea, dutifully complied. But the 40 Cappadocians, all Christians, respectfully declined. For more than a week, they were placed under guard, where they sang and prayed together continually. Their captain pleaded with them, "Of all the soldiers who serve the emperor, none are more loved by us and more needed right now. Do not turn our love into hatred. It lies in you whether to be loved or hated." "If it rests with us," they replied, "we have made our choice. We shall devote our love to our God." It was sundown when they were stripped and escorted shivering in the middle of a frozen lake with guards stationed along the shore. A heated Roman bathhouse stood ready at the shore for any of them who are prepared to renounce their faith in Christ and offer a pagan sacrifice. Their jailer stood by with arms folded, watching as a bitter winter wind whipped across the ice. But through the whistling wind, the soldiers could be heard singing, "40 good soldiers for Christ, we shall not depart from you as long as you give us life. We shall call upon your name, whom all creation praises. Fire and hail, snow and wind and storm, on you we have hoped, and we were not ashamed." As midnight approached, their song grew more feeble. Then a strange thing happened. One of the 40 staggered toward shore, fell to his knees, and began crawling toward the bathhouse. 39 soldiers for Christ, came the weakening, trembling song from the distance. The jailer watched the man enter the bathhouse and emerge quickly, uprightly overcome by the heat, then collapsed on the ground and expired. He died. The other guards could not believe what they saw next. The jailer wrenched off his armor and coat and dashed to the edge of the lake, lifted his hands and cried, 40 good soldiers for Christ," then disappeared over the ice into the darkness. All 40 were dead by the next day, but it was the jailer who caught the captain's notice as their bodies were being carted away. "What is he doing there?" he demanded. One of the guards replied, "We cannot understand it, Captain. Ever since those Christians came under his care, we noticed something different about him." The martyrs of Sebaste were jealous for the name of their God, and it had a profound impact on that jailer who looked on. Our jealousy for God should have a similar effect on the people around us. In closing, we ask ourselves this question. Let us examine our lives prayerfully to ask, have other things assumed a more prominent place in my life than my relationship with the Father? If so, will I decide today to take concrete steps to put him in the position that he deserves? God's jealousy is because he deserves it. He's worthy of it. Because he has proved it concerning us. He's proved it in his love for us. How jealous we are about our love for him, our passion concerning him, our desire to honor him, is what speaks about the reciprocity of our love for him, if it's there or not. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we can only love you when we are convinced and know that we love you because you have first loved us. And evidently, you truly have first loved us. That by grace we are in you, by grace we are alive, by grace we are in faith, by grace we have been saved. Lord, all this is because of your love, your love, your love for us. May our lives speak more than our words can. In loving you back, Lord, we pray. Amen.